11:05, and it looks like we are about ready to get started. Thank you to the entire team, in particular to Rabbi Winston, who reached out to me, who made all the logistical planning to make this beautiful evening of learning the success that it is. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to share Torah. There is no greater privilege in the world than to be doing just this. And I thank all of you for joining us and for spending your evening in such a meaningful way. In honor of the upcoming Yom Tov Chag HaShavuos, we're going to spend a little bit of time this evening reminding ourselves of the extraordinary, the exceptional, and outstanding experience that learning Torah is every time we engage in Talmud Torah. Let us just remind ourselves of how important that is and what it needs to mean to all of us. We begin with a Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin in the very first parak, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, where we are told a very frightening statement that La'achar Me'a Ve'esrim Shana, after 120 years, Tchilas Dino Shaladam Al Divrei Torah. The Gemara says, surprisingly, the very first question that God is going to ask us, the very first analysis into all of our behavior in life is going to be about Divrei Torah. Have we made time to learn? Have we made sure that this was a priority in our lives? And this is a very strange comment. Obviously, as we know, V'talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, we know that learning Torah is considered to be a highly critical mitzvah, but there are many important mitzvahs. And why is it that learning Torah is going to be the very first question, the initial conversation that God will have with us, La'achar Me'a Ve'esrim Shana? The answer that Rav Shach writes in his Sefer, Avi Ezri. Rav Shach was the Rosh Yeshiva in the Padnavizhur Yeshiva, a tremendous Talmud Chacham, a great leader of the Jewish people. And Rav Shach writes that perhaps the reason why is because what is the objective, what is the goal of learning Torah? Says Rav Shach, the reason why we learn is because HaTalmud Mevi Lidei Maisa. By studying the Torah, we then have an understanding as to how we are meant to practice the laws of the Torah. If one does not study, they will never really know how to observe the mitzvahs HaTorah. And therefore he says, Tchilas Dino Shaladam Al Divrei Torah. God, in his first initial question, in his first analysis of our lives, is going to ask, did you do your best to study Torah as much as you can? Because that is what's going to govern whether or not you had the ability to observe the mitzvos as best as you can. And therefore he writes, that is why the Gemara says that Tchilas Dino Shaladam Al Divrei Torah Shezehu Hagorem Haikari. This is what precipitates all of our observance of Torah. And if we're not going to be careful enough about learning, we are probably not going to be careful either about our level of observance. Now, if you look in the beginning of Parshas Bechukosai, the Torah opens up the Parsha by saying, Im Bechukosai Telechu. And Rashi there famously comments, Shetihiyu Amelim BaTorah, that we have an obligation to do our best to study and be engaged in Torah learning as much as we possibly can. What it means is that we came into this world and we have an objective and we have a purpose, we have a responsibility. In fact, the Mishnah writes in Pirkei Avos in the second perek, Im lamadita Torah harbe, if you have amassed and accumulated a great amount of Torah knowledge, al tachzik tova le'atzmecha, that's not something to be so proud of, because lakach notzarta. Do you walk around every day being proud of the fact that you're able to breathe? Obviously, when we take a moment to think about it, of course we're grateful, and of course we have so much to be thankful for, that the systems are working, that we have all the organs in place. However, is this a reason to take pride in ourselves? No, that's just a part of the human condition. It's part of what every human being needs to have in order to be a living organism in our world. And the same goes when it comes to Torah. When the Mishnah writes, Al tachzik tova li'atzmecha, ki lakach notzarta. This is our mission. This is our responsibility. This is our goal. And sometimes it means we need to exert and expend a tremendous amount of energy to make it happen. Learning Torah is not always easy. It's not always smooth. It's not always comfortable. And it's not always as pleasant as we may have expected. I remember when I was first married, I had the great privilege of learning with my father in YU. We used to learn B'chavrusa for 9 years. I learned with my father in the morning and in the afternoon. And it was the most amazing privilege of my life. And so much of what I know and what I try to teach is from those great years that I spent learning with my father. And I remember right after we got married, I would be learning with my father, and Seder ended at 6:30. And he didn't notice that everybody had left the Beis Medrash and it was empty. And we just kept going. And then it was 7 o'clock and 7:30, and I was young. And I was not very excited about the fact that we went perhaps an hour or an hour and a half overtime. But lakach notzarta. It wasn't so pleasant all the time, and it wasn't easy. But I saw the pleasure that my father had in the learning Torah that he did. And he takes no pride in the fact that this is what he does, because what else is a Jew supposed to be doing than to be engaged heavily in the study of Torah and to exert as much effort and energy as we can? In fact, the Gemara says in Maseches Chagiga in the very first parak, Shlosha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bocha Aleihem. There are three people who HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries about every single day. And you'll ask yourself, who is it that God goes out of his way to cry for? There are many pathetic situations in our world, many things that I would say I should cry about when I think about the state of affairs in the world that we live today. And yet the Gemara says one of those three is Almi Sheyesh Lo Lasuk B'Torah Ve'Eino Osek. One of the great tragedies in God's eyes is when he gave someone the ability to study Torah and they waste that opportunity and they don't learn Torah as they should. That is one of the three very tragic situations that make God actually cry, because he sees that as such a wasted opportunity. It is so sad. So we have an obligation. And as we know, the Gemara says, Adam la'amal yulad. We were all created to work hard. The Gemara asks, what kind of work are we supposed to be involved in? Im la'amal peh, im la'amal melacha. And the Gemara comes to the conclusion, it means la'amal ha-Torah, that we were created for the sake of working hard to really master as much as we can the tremendous privilege that God gave us of learning his Torah. In Parshas Vayeshev, I know it's going to sound a little strange, may have nothing to do with what we're saying on the outset, but you'll see in a minute why we're bringing this into the discussion. In Parshas Vayeshev, we're familiar with the story of the Sar HaMashkim and the Sar HaOfim. So as we know, Paro has two servants, and each one of them does something that really agitated the master. It agitated Paro. And as a result, Paro decides that he was going to throw them into jail. As things turns out, nothing is happenstance, as we know, and it happened because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it destined to be so. So as it turns out, Yosef ends up in the same jail cell as the Sar HaMashkim and the Sar HaOfim. One fine morning, they notice that he's an Ish Chacham. They notice that he's really a wise man and he has some kind of insight into the inner workings of the world. So they each come and confide in Yosef HaTzadik and they tell him about their dreams. Seem almost to be identical dreams with each other. They seem like very similar stories, and yet Yosef, somehow in his wisdom, comes up with an interpretation for each one of the dreams that is not at all similar to the dream that they had. And one of them has an outcome that is very positive, and the other has a tremendously negative outcome. One of them, Yosef says, is going to live, and one of them, he says, in his prophecy, is going to die. And Rav Meir Shapiro, the great Rosh Hashiva of Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, who we all owe so much to today, for anyone who learns the Daf Yomi and who has been inspired by it, who has learned because of it, it's all on the shoulders of Rav Meir Shapiro. What a great man, what a visionary. And what a leader for all future generations. Rav Meir Shapiro asked, how did Yosef HaTzadik know that one of the dreams was to be interpreted as Lechayim, and one of them was to be interpreted as Lamavis, Lamisa? How do you know which one goes in which direction? And he said the answer is as follows. There's one marked distinction between both of these dreams, and that is the following. In the dream of the Sar HaOfim, it said that he walked into Paro's palace and he had Shlosha Salei Chori. He had three different baskets on top of his head. When it comes to the dream of the Sar HaMashkim, we are told that he was described as picking and pressing and squeezing and producing the wine that he brought to Paro. Said Rav Meir Shapiro, somebody who is described as having a vibrant, a dynamic process that's going on in their life, you know that that person is l'chaim. You know that that person will have real life. You know that that person is vibrant and operational and motivated, driven and dynamic to make something happen. But unfortunately, he says, when we know that somebody just walks with baskets on their head and they're just idle and they're stationary and they're unproductive because whatever it is that they have on their heads, that's what they stick with and they don't work hard and they're not involved in anything that's supposed to bring about growth. They're not squeezing. They're not pressing. They're not pushing. They're not producing. Such a person, says Rav Meir Shapiro, is someone that we know from the outset will be lamavis. That is not a person who has a future in life. And unfortunately, this is something that we've seen in this terrible pandemic that we're in now. How many people do we know that have risen to the challenge and have made such meaning out of this time? Why? Because they've remained engaged and they've made sure that they are always producing, they are always doing, they're reading, they're playing, they're doing, they're watching, they're doing something that keeps their minds occupied, that keeps them involved, that keeps them motivated to live another day. And unfortunately, how many have we spoken with over the last few months who just sit back and allow things to play out as they do, and wait for the news every day to watch what the governor of their particular state is going to say? I don't know if it's the same in all the states from all the different people who are watching here. I can say in the state of New York, all of the people who watch the governor come out more confused than before they watched. They don't have any more clarity on what's going on. You watch all of the updates, it doesn't seem to give us any more understanding of what really is going on behind the scenes. And yet there are people who do that, and it's such a waste, and it's so meaningless, and unfortunately they become so depressed because they're just not engaged, and there's nothing that makes them feel motivated to produce or to do something that is actually meaningful every day of their lives. And this is our challenge, this is our job. When we think about when the Torah says, Im b'chukosai teilechu, that Adam la'amal yulad, man was created by God to be involved in the pursuit of learning Torah, of challenging our minds, of refining our character, of working on something, of being goal-oriented people and thinking about how we can better our lives and the lives of all of those who we interact with. When we speak about this experience of Limud HaTorah, I think I would be remiss if we didn't mention the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos in the third perek, where the Mishnah says, an astounding statement, Asara sheyoshvim ve'oskim haTorah. If you have 10 individuals that are sitting and learning Torah together, Shechina Shruya Beinehem. And I'm always moved and uplifted. I'm inspired by this Mishnah. So I hope you will be as well and get a different perspective on what your study of Torah is. So if you have 10 people, Rabbi gives a shiur on Shabbos afternoon, and he's lucky if he has 10 people who are actually there and listening and not sleeping. So imagine you have a situation like that. 10 people actually listening to a shiur, learning together. Says the Mishnah, God will be there. And God will participate. And then the Mishnah asks, Uminayin afilu chamisha. How do I know that even if 5 people are learning together, the other 5 fell asleep already? How do I know if I have 5 left that are actually paying attention and are still engaged, how do I know that God is going to be there? Well, the Mishnah says, we learn from a pasuk that God will be there as well. Uminayin afilu shlosha. Ask the Mishnah, how do I know even if you have, I don't know what we call it, a trivrusa, I guess, if you have 3 people who are learning together, would the Shechina be there as well? And the Mishnah says, yes, absolutely. And how do you know even if 2? And the Mishnah quotes a pasuk. And finally, the Mishnah comes to the conclusion, Minayin afilu echad. How do I know even if 1 individual is sitting by him or herself, learning Torah, with nobody else watching? How do I know that God is going to participate? And the Mishnah tells us, we learn that from a pasuk in Sefer Shemos. Bechol hamakom asher azkira shemi, Avo elecha uverachticha. Anywhere that my name, God says, is mentioned, I will come and I will give you a blessing. I will participate. And from here, the Mishnah teaches that anyone who engages in the study of Torah, and I think to myself all the time, we come home late from work and we had a busy day and it's difficult. And I don't have a head to sit down and learn the Daf Yomi because I had an early meeting at 5 o'clock in the morning. I had to be on the train already, and I quickly davened when I got to work, and I missed the minyan, and I had a very long day. It was just difficult. A lot of things going on. I finally come home late at night, and I have no energy left. I can't learn the Daf. I can't even open up a Mishnayos. It's too difficult. I don't have a head for it. So I sit down on the couch. I open up a Tehillim, and I start to read the words of God's Torah. I read from a Tehillim. And I know it's something that I'm able to handle. And I spend 5 minutes before I go upstairs to take a shower. I spend 5 minutes reading God's beautiful words in Tehillim. Do you know that the Ribono Shel Olam is sitting there on the couch with you? And he is studying those words along with you. Bechol hamakom asher azkir ashemi, avo elecha uverachticha. God says, anywhere that my name is mentioned, Anywhere where my Torah is studied, even if it's only one individual who is studying by him or herself, that is going to be a reason for God to go out of his way and join you in your study. And that to me was always an uplifting and inspiring comment of the Mishnah. Now it happens to be Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, one of the great giants, one of the German giants in the 1800s. He was a student of Rabbi Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, if I'm not mistaken, and he writes in his first tshuva in the Binyan Sion, he writes so much about moving to Eretz Yisrael, and that's why he called the Sefer Binyan Sion. So in the Binyan Sion, he asks a very obvious question, and that is, what does it mean when we say in our davening every day, V'sechazena einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion berachamim? We hope that God will expose us to his presence once again in Yerushalayim with the Beis HaMikdash. What do we need that for? If the Mishnah here says that we can experience godliness even when we study Torah alone, and here we are in Chutz La'aretz, and that is sufficient, what does it mean that we look forward to a day when we come to Yerushalayim and we will once again experience the presence of God? Aren't we all in the presence of God right now? And the Binyan Sion answers that what it means is there are different levels of potency, different degrees and measures of exposure to godliness that we can have. In the Beis HaMikdash, in Yerushalayim, that is the most intense experience, that is the most heightened experience of godliness that we will ever have. And that is sharpened and reinforced as we get closer and closer to Yerushalayim. He says, however, there are different gradations of our relationship with God, and therefore he says, if we learn Torah on our own, we have a certain level of exposure to godliness. If we learn with two people, we have a little bit more. If it's 3, 5, or 10, that will grow exponentially. And that is what this Mishnah means to say. That godliness is going to be felt in any opportunity where Torah is going to be studied. But don't ever forget that it is going to be intensified and enhanced by the opportunity of having Torah studied by more people together. Now, when looking at the words of this Mishnah, I glanced over the words of the Mishnah and I did not translate them exactly the way they should be. So let's just look back. I'm sorry I didn't post anything. I wasn't aware that we were supposed to be posting anything. So just take my word for it, or look it up in a Mishnayos Pirkei Avos where we're told. How do you know that even one person who studies Torah is going to have the presence of Shekhinah with them? Because the Pasuk says, B'chol ha-makom asher azkira shemi, avo elecha uverachticha. Wherever my name is mentioned, I will come and I will give you a blessing. Now, there's a very strange word that finds itself in this pasuk. Really, it should have said, "B'chol ha-makom asher tazkiru eshemi." Wherever you will mention my name, I, God, in turn, will respond, and I will come and join you in to that study of Torah. Why does the Torah say here, "B'chol ha-makom asher azkir eshemi"? Wherever I mention my name. It seems to be the wrong choice of words. For anyone who knows Klalei HaDiktuk, we know that this is an improper usage of the word. It really is not the way it should have been written. And this is not my question. This is a question that I know is MS. How do I know it's true? Not because I know Diktuk. I actually don't know anything about Diktuk. I know this question is real because it is asked by two great giants from two opposite ends of the aisle. It is asked by the Noam Elimelech, Rabbi Elimelech Milizhensk, as well as Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner in his Sefer Nefesh HaChaim. And they are from two very different schools of thought. The Noam Elimelech was one of the great Hasidic masters. Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner was the foremost student of the Vilna Gaon who opposed to the whole movement of Hasidus. And yet they both ask this question, and they both give the same answer. So it's definitely Toras Emes. And what do they say? They say, based on a Gemara Maseches Gittin, that when it says that we are going to have an assurance that God will join us in participating in the learning that we do, it does not mean that God will just sit there and listen to what it is that we're learning, but rather, b'chol ha-makom asher azkir eshemi, God himself will say every word along with us. So when you sit down and you say, Ashrei ha-ish asher lo halach ba'atzas rishaim, how uplifting that experience should be, not only because you understand that God is there with you in the room, sitting on your couch as you're having the end to your long day, but understand that God is actually saying every word along with you. And that is amazing. How do they prove that? There's a Gemara in Maseches Gittin. where the Gemara says that there were two Tanaim, two Amoraim, I don't remember exactly, who were having a discussion about a detail of the story of Pilegesh Begiva. And these two great tzaddikim were discussing one of the aspects that's mentioned there in the Navi by Pilegesh Begiva, and they had a disagreement about one of the interpretations of a word in the pasuk. Well, to their surprise, they walk out of the Beis Medrash, and somebody bumps into Eliyahu HaNavi. Amazing. I look forward to the day when we'll all have that opportunity. So we have a disagreement in the Beis Medrash, and we walk out, and we ask Eliyahu HaNavi the question. So one of them walks up to Eliyahu HaNavi, and he says, "Bemai asik kud shabrichu, do me a favor, tell me, what is God busy with right now? What is he doing?" And Eliyahu HaNavi says, let me just check it up. 1 minute, I'll be right back. Eliyahu HaNavi responds and he says, "Actually, God is ka'asik ba'araisa. God is actually studying Torah." Wow, that's amazing. We'd love to know, what is God studying? So they ask Eliyahu HaNavi, "Tell us, give us the insight from Me'achori HaPargud. Tell us what's going on upstairs." And he responds, he's actually studying the story in Navi of Pilegesh Begiva. You're not going to believe it, Eliyahu HaNavi. We were just in the Beis Medrash, also studying the story of Pilegesh Begiva, and we happen to have had a dispute. I'm just curious, what does God say? God is learning the very same psukim. How does he interpret the pasuk? We weren't sure how to understand it. Now that God himself is learning it, maybe you, Eliyahu HaNavi, can tell us how God himself understands the psukim. Eliyahu HaNavi says, I'll tell you exactly what he's saying. God just mentioned that his great child said this interpretation, and his other wonderful child said that interpretation. And that is what God was doing. And from there, Reb Chaim Volozhiner and the Noam Elimelech prove that you see, when it says that we are assured that God studies Torah with us, it doesn't just mean that he is there in the room. It means he actually says the words along with us. I was inspired a number of years ago when I read a passage of the Chafetz Chaim, where he writes that a person should feel so satisfied, a person should feel so fulfilled by the fact that God gave us the opportunity and the privilege, the blessing of studying his Torah in this world. Why should we feel blessed? Why should we feel privileged? Writes the Chafetz Chaim, because we have the opportunity to associate and connect with God at any moment that we choose. I don't know what example to give for this, and this is probably a horrible way to express it, but I hope you'll forgive me, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be mochonly for saying it in layman's terms. This is the way I see it. So, my wife and I were invited to the White House for the Hanukkah party once. And it happens to be it was a huge waste of time. We sat around in the White House for a long time, and we had expectations of what we were going to see there, and I don't really think you see all that much. And the president makes a very short appearance and wishes everyone a happy Hanukkah, and that was that. And I can't tell you how many people said they had ga'aguim. They wished they could be invited to the president. Somebody even called me up before and said, "When you meet the president, make sure you tell him this, make sure you tell him that." And I said, "You're dreaming. I may meet the president, but they're certainly not interested in what I have to say. And he's not going to ask me for my opinion about anything. Certainly not about the Jewish community right now in New York." So this was an experience that I had. And I thought to myself, how people would give so much to have that opportunity, even though it's not all that exciting. But people would give a lot to have such an opportunity. People are interested in such an opportunity and such an experience. But says the Chafetz Chaim, lehavdil elef alfei havdalos, writes the Chafetz Chaim, do you understand that the Ribono Shel Olam gives you the opportunity to tap into this any moment that you choose to do so? We don't need an invitation. God says all you need to do is open the book. Avo elecha uverachticha. I will come, I will join you, I will engage you in conversation. You don't need to be invited. You don't have to be on an exclusive list. You don't have to pretend to be all that important. You could be a very simple Jew like I am. And God says that is sufficient. You can invite me into your life. You can talk to me anytime you want. Says the Chafetz Chaim, do you understand There will come a time when all of us will meet God. And that is La'achar Me'e Ve'esrim Shana. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, some people have an image that La'achar Me'e Ve'esrim Shana, we're all going to be in this blissful reality with godliness surrounding us all over the place. However, he says, don't forget, Mechitzos Rabos Mafridos Beino LeBein Kono. Do you understand what kind of seat you may have in the Olam HaEmes? The way I think about it is, imagine a stadium. I don't know how many on the line were in MetLife Stadium for the Siyum HaShas or have gone to a ball game before, but there are people who have seats on the floor, and there are people who sit way out in the $18 seats, where there's lots of craziness going on, where there are people throwing beer bottles at each other. It's not all that exciting. So it's nice, you're in the arena, you're watching what's going on, but you are very far away. And when your child starts tugging at you and saying, I want that autograph, I want to catch the ball, you got to break them the good news that, just want to let you know it's not going to happen. We're too far away. There's no way we could even get close. And you try to move down a few sections, and the policeman catches you and says, you know, I think you better go back to your seat. This is really not where you belong. And that is exactly what happens, says the Chafetz Chaim. Why wouldn't we take advantage of the opportunity to invite God and engage with Him on a very personal level, and don't say we're going to have that opportunity later, because this one is much more profound. The opportunity that we all have here is far greater and far closer and more intimate than the one perhaps that we will have later on when we get to the Olam HaEmes where HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself resides. So as we know, we think so highly of Torah, and it is Misos Chayenu. The Torah really is the mainstay of our lives. Ki hem chayenu v'orech yamenu v'hem nehegeh yomam v'layla. We say it in our davening. Sas anochi alim rasecha kimotze shalom rav. I celebrate, I rejoice over the fact that I have the opportunity to learn Torah. It's as if I won the lottery. It's as if I've been given everything in the world. Torah Hashem tamim ha-meshivas nafesh. This is what gives me comfort. This is what gives me so much stability in my life. This is more valuable to me than any other pursuit or endeavor in the world. And not only do we have an obligation to learn Torah, but we also have an obligation and an expectation to master the Torah that we learn and to try and retain the information. So much so that the Baal HaTanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, writes in his Sefer Shulchan Aruch HaRav, which is a very important Sefer. And if you're not going to learn the whole Shulchan Aruch HaRav, maybe take a project this Chag HaShavuos, when you may be spending it at home. He has a beautiful few prakim in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, which are Hilchos Talmud Torah. And he goes through just what the experience of Talmud Torah is, what is expected of all of us. It's a beautiful, beautiful read. Maybe print it out before Yom Tov, or if you have a Shulchan Aruch HaRav, read from the Sefer itself, learn it, engage it, and take away so much as all of us who have gone through it before have taken away from it. But the Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes the following. Chiyuvu min haTorah lisker lo melamed sheyelamdenu heitev. Writes the Baal HaTanya, we all have an obligation if we cannot study Torah on our own. And most of us do not have the opportunity to teach ourselves. We need to be taught. But says the Baal HaTanya, part of our obligation to learn Torah is to hire somebody who can teach us Torah if we don't have the ability to do so on our own. And then he says, what I'm looking for in a teacher is Leida kol haTorah shebichsav v'shebal peh. I need to find somebody who can teach me all of Torah shebichsav as well as the Torah shebal peh. And that is something that we have an obligation to master as best as we can. So this is something that the Gemara takes very seriously. It's a Gemara Menachos Tzadites. It's a Gemara that's spoken about in a few places that we have an obligation to retain the Torah that we study. So much so that the Chacham Tzvi writes in one of his tshuvas, as we know in Avel, Rachmana Litzlan, God forbid if somebody is in Avelus, they are not allowed to study Torah. Why? Because Pikudei Hashem Yisharim Misam Chelev. The understanding is that Torah makes us happy. And when one is in a state of Avelus, they're supposed to be a little bit more subdued. They should feel a little bit more restrained. They shouldn't be so excited. And if I'm going to be studying Torah, it will inevitably lead me to be happy and excited, which is inappropriate during Avelus. So we know you're not supposed to study Torah during the week of Avelus, during the week of Shiva. However, says the Chacham Tzvi, Somebody once asked him the following question, and he was concerned. If I'm not going to study Torah during the week of Shiva, I'm going to forget the Torah that I have mastered. So what am I to do? And the Chacham Svi said, in such a case, Ein lecha davar ha'aved gadol mizeh, there is no greater tragedy than that. You should bypass the law, and you should go ahead and study Torah because, lest you forget it. That would be tragic. That would be a horrible consequence, and that is not something we can afford for a person to do. That is not a choice that we are willing to make. And therefore, he says, he allowed somebody to study Torah, even during Shiva, even during Avelis, because if not, if they were concerned that maybe they would forget the Torah, that would be a great tragedy. Now, one of the problems is, we are not all so brilliant. How are we supposed to retain all of the information that we study? This doesn't happen in any discipline. Even the greatest scientist, the greatest mathematician, sometimes needs to refer back to the books. The greatest doctor needs to go back and look something up. They don't remember everything off the top of their heads. How are we all supposed to retain everything? To the point that it says in Kriyat Shema, V'hayu hadvarim ha'ela asher anochi mitzavcha hayom, al livavecha, vishinantam livanecha, says the Gemara, she'yiyu divrei Torah mechudada meficha. We should just have it rolling off of our tongues. That is not the reality for most of us. We don't have such minds. So how are we meant to do such an unrealistic expectation? How are we supposed to do that? And the answer perhaps is as follows. The Mishnah writes in Pirkei Avos, Chamisha Talmidim Hayelo Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. We are told Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai had five different students. And then the Mishnah says, Hayamona Shivcha. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai used to point out, used to highlight the great value of each one of his students. So one of them, he said, was a Balmida. He said very different things about each one of them, but the last one he said was Rabbi Lezer Ben Hurkanus. And what he said about him was, he's a bor sid she'eno ma'abed tipa. He is an absolute genius. Everything that goes into his head stays there. And that's the way he gave pride to Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkanus. So the Teferis Yisrael, one of the foremost commentaries there on the Mishnayos, asks, why would you say such a thing? He didn't work hard to have the memory that he had. That is a God-given talent. So why do we pride him in the fact that he has a tremendous, a phenomenal memory? Of what good is that? God gave it to him. He didn't work hard to have that. So why do you pride your student on that just because he's a genius? That is a God-given talent. And the answer, writes the Teferis Yisrael, is because he was not born this way. In fact, the Teferis Yisrael doesn't quote this, but there's a Pirkei de Rabbi Lezer that writes about Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkanus, that originally he was in business and he was not destined to be learning Torah at all. And he sat every day and cried to his father, all I want is to be a Talmud Chacham. And I appreciate the fact he had a rich father. And he told his father, I appreciate the fact that you gave me all this land, that you want me to be a businessman, that you want me to be successful. And I would love to do that. But you know what I would love even more? There's nothing more that I would love in my life than to become a great Talmud Chacham. And Rabbi Lezer gave it all up to become the great person who he was. Well, the Mishnah says here, look where it got him. He's a bor sid she'eno ma'abe tipa, because he cares so much. If you care enough, you don't forget. Did you ever forget your own birthday? Did you ever forget your spouse's name, your children's names? No. And I often think, you go into a department store. Sometimes I go into Lowe's. Very infrequently, because I am not a handy person. I was born with six left hands. So I walk into Lowe's, and sometimes I need something very specific. I don't even know where to start looking for it. I don't know how the aisles are broken down. And I walk into the store, and I find somebody who has a red vest on them. And I say, excuse me, sir, can you please show me where I can find this item? Sure, go down 22 aisles, and you'll find it on the third shelf up to the left side. That's where you'll find it. And I always say, does Lowe's only hire the greatest geniuses in the world? How is it possible that the moment you stop any of the workers in the store, they're able to tell you, without even looking it up, immediately where every size screw is, where every hammer, where everything, every single thing that you can look for, they know where it is immediately. How can that be? Is everybody so brilliant? And the answer is no. They know that their job depends on it. And they know that if I will not remember this information, I am not worthy of having a job in this store. I'm worthless to them. This is not going to be something that they'll feel worthwhile to keep me around for. They can find 100 other people to do the job. The only reason why I'm here is because I care enough to know everything about the store, the ins and outs. And that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to all of us. Do you care enough about the Torah that you are going to actually internalize its messages and remember it for all eternity? Are you going to remember and master what you study? Or is it just some kind of intellectual pursuit that seems interesting, that is very nice, but when we walk away from it, we forget it all? The Torah does not demand of us to be great geniuses. What the Torah does demand of us is that we should care enough to want to remember it, because it's important enough. I don't forget my social security number. I don't forget my birthday. I don't forget my siblings. I don't forget the Torah, because it's just as critical. It's just as much a mainstay of every part of my life. Let me just close with an amazing letter of the Chazon Ish. I see we're already out of time. It's 11:40 and I was told I have a strict time limit. I don't want you to be late to whoever you're going to listen to after we're done. But the Chazon Ish was so poetic. And if you've never read some of the letters of the Chazon Ish, you may not appreciate exactly what this means, but take some time. If you appreciate Hebrew, look in the Igros Chazon Ish. So many of his letters are just beautifully written. He had such a different style, such an unusual style of Hebrew. And the Chazon Ish writes in one of his Igros, in one of his letters, he says, when describing a person who learns Torah, writes the Chazon Ish, Ha'ish ha-zocha li-yediyas ha-Torah. When you come across a human being who has risen to this level, who is able to retain the Torah knowledge that they have studied, he describes that human being as a person who is holech ben anashim. You are a person who travels amongst men. V'nidme la'adam haroi le'inayim kiven adam. And you seem in the eyes of all those who you encounter as if you are a human being. However, he says, be'emes hu malach hagar im b'nei temusa. In truth, in essence, you are an angel. You are a sublime human being. You are a person who is transcendental. You are living in another world. You are not the same as everybody else. You may look like that. You are an angel that is camouflaged and masked and veiled as a human being. That is what the experience, writes the Chazon Ish. The experience of learning Torah can transform a person from being a regular human being like everyone else to rise to a transcendental reality, to rise to a sublime reality where you are a malach that is veiled, that is disguised as a human being. So as we approach Chag HaShavuos, we remind ourselves what a privilege it is to once again be Makabel Torah anew. What a great gift it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this treasure. V'chaye olam nata b'socheinu. God gave us the opportunity to love Him forever. And we take this moment of Kabbalah Satorah to appreciate that gift and to pledge to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we will use it, that we will master it to the best of our ability, and that we will treat it as such an essential part of our lives and try never to forget. The same way all the other essentials of life, we try our best not to forget. So too, when it comes to our study of Torah, we not only study diligently, but we try and master and remember all that we spend so much time investing in the study of God's holy and sacred Torah. I wish all of you a Chag Sameach, and thank you so much again to all of you for joining us. Rabbi Winston, I'm going to hand it back over to you.